spiritually, in our life, in our growth. Hallelujah. How many of you been able to come to the lessons? Amen. You've been coming? You enjoy it? It's good? Amen. Hallelujah. If you miss something, you can go on our website now. Anybody done that yet? What's the matter with y'all? You don't have a computer? We're going to believe God for y'all to get caught up. You can go on there, on our website, and you can listen. There are messages absolutely free. You want to, you know, no, don't want to mess with your sales or anything, Michael, but you know, we want to get the word out. So, you know, and Michael is managing that. So, you know, after the messages on Wednesday and like this past Sunday, if you like that message and God spoke to you and you want to listen to it again, Michael manages that. He has it up, usually have it uploaded, what, the same day, don't you? You can go on it and listen to it again. Sunday or two before, and these Wednesday series is on there, so you can go back if you missed something, or if you know somebody that you think it would help, you can click on there on an email and send them, just send the message right to them. How about that? Won't cost you or them a nickel. Amen. It's just, you know, you can get one of the cards, graceonthemove.us. Then on the little pull down, you know, menu, you go over to media. Click on audio, and then everything else is straightforward. You just pick out which one you want and start listening. Or send it to somebody that you think it would help. Yes?
We've had 27 people listen to the message.
Praise God. I think that was all me. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Good. Well, that's what we want. You know, and not only for you, you know, of course, the snowbirds that are seasonal, they can click on and listen and stay connected. And then, of course, other people that are just browsing through the internet, you know, they can come on. And I, you know, and here's the thing, be praying over that too as you think about it, you know, that God will use it. Because, you know, you come along, you know, the Bible says this in Proverbs. He says, a word spoken in due season, a fit word, is like apples of gold in frames of silver. You ever had a due word that God brought to you from the scriptures, or maybe somebody might have just, you know, you've just been having a conversation with another brother or sister or something, and they say something, they don't think anything about what they said, but man, I'm telling you, it scratched your itch, it ministered to you, it was what you needed. So we want to it's a tool, and we want to believe that, you know, God will use that.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 7. We've been looking at all of these different nations. We're down to the last two. God says that when you come into the land to possess it, and then he mentions these seven nations. He said they're larger, they're stronger than you. When the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. He said, this is what you are to do. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you are people holy to the Lord your God. So as we looked at these things, we saw the spiritual typology as it applied to our life. And we're down to the last two, which is the Hivites and the Jebusites. The tribe, the Hivite, that stands for and represents... It means this, to live in a small encampment. And for us, spiritually, it would mean this way, to think or act small. To think or act small. Now, you know what? We know there are problems in the body of Christ. I think, you know, just like there's problems in our nation, we know there's problems in the body of Christ. And unless you've been living in a cave, you know that, don't you? But, you know, of all the problems, we can talk about, you know, well, you know, television preachers are misusing this and people got wrong motives there and there's sin in the camp over here and there's this over there and there's that over there. And as true as all that may be and as bad as all that may be, that is not the biggest hindering force in the body of Christ. What I just read is the biggest hindering force in the body of Christ is that we think and we act too small. We shout about our God is the Almighty. He has all power. Nothing is impossible. Greater is He. We quote all those catchphrases. But when it comes time to think big and think out of the box, the body of Christ as a whole, we just, oh man, you know, we can't handle it. We struggle with it. Oh, you know, now don't say God's going to do something too big. How many of you know you don't have to protect God's reputation? He's been doing fine for a long time. Amen. Listen, but you know what we should do? Scotty, you want to close that door? Okay. We're not trying to keep anybody out, but I want you to listen to me, not them. But you know, the Hivite tribe, this is what it was. He says it's to think or to act small. In turnover, very familiar portion of Scripture, but I want us to look at it anyway, Romans 12. And remember what I said, when we look at a Scripture that is very familiar with us, that's where we've got to take the most pains to concentrate. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's something new, that kind of gets our computer go, oh. You know, but when it's something we think we already know all that, then we don't concentrate, we don't pay attention, and something can slip right by us. Isn't that true? In Romans chapter 12, notice what it says here. He says, verse 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, as holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, notice this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to read that. I want to read some different translations here. I've got a Bible here. It's got 26 translations. Don't worry, I'm not going to read them all. But sometimes, you know, when it's phrased a little different, when it's said a little different, sometimes it strikes us different, doesn't it? Amen? And so In this same passage of Scripture, I want to read from Phillips' translation. Listen to this. It says, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's what that word conform literally means, to squeeze. And isn't that what the world tries to do? Not just morally, it does that. Not just socially, it does that. But when it comes into this area of beginning to think the way God wants us to think kingdom, to think faith, to think big, to think in the light of heaven, the world tries to squeeze us in and says, now, you know, don't get your hopes up. I even heard them talking about, you know, you giving people false hope. I wish somebody would define false hope. How do you define that? There's hope and there's hopelessness, but how can there be false hope? Especially when you're hoping in God. How can that be a false hope? Are you telling me that we can encourage people to believe and trust God too much? Is that what you're telling me? You spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians? Is that what we're telling? But see, without us realizing, now I know when I say it that way, we're all like, duh, of course not, Pastor. But, you know, that thing can squeeze us in a subtle way, and we don't realize that that's what's happened to us. Anybody, you ever were believing God for something, and it didn't come to pass? Can we say that in church? Yeah. If we're secure, we can, can't we? And you know, maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you were praying. Maybe you were believing the best you know how. You were doing everything you knew to do, and it didn't come to pass. And you know what that does? The world, the enemy in the world will try to jump in there and try to squeeze you and say, see there? Now don't get your hopes up next time. That's just, you know, that's just a lot of good preacher talk. But don't get your hopes up. But here's the thing. He said, don't let the world squeeze you into that kind of thinking. That's what the Hivites were. They lived in a small place. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. You know, how many know God's big? Mm-hmm. Just look at the natural creation. God is extravagant. Yeah. Go out and look at the universe. You know, God could have just created one star for us, bing, and put it there. Isn't that right? He could have said, boom, there's soul right there. There's one star. It's all you need. Isn't that right? And he could have just put one planet, Earth. Bing, that's all you need. But you go out there and look, and he's put, you can't number them. Billions of stars, planets, galaxies. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, you know, why would God, what a waste. Come on. We even start thinking that. Oh, well, I just don't see. We just don't need that. You know, here's the thing. We'll let Disney, we'll let Hollywood, we'll let all those people do all this stuff. But the first time we want to do something in the church, oh, we don't. That's extravagant. Well, you're going to be out of place in heaven, honey. You're going to be way uncomfortable there. Because the streets are gold, I've heard. So's the curb. Well, if the streets are gold, can you imagine what the mansions look like? Can you imagine what the clothes are going to look like? Can you imagine that crown you're going to get? It's going to look like. This is what I'm saying. See, it's extravagant. You look at the New Jerusalem. Do you know that the New Jerusalem, when you look at the dimensions, on the smallest scale of the dimensions that it may be, the city would stretch from here to Phoenix, Arizona. Just one way. And then you cube that. You know. That's going to be a big place for the 10 people that make it, isn't it? God must have in mind that there's going to be a lot of people there. What am I saying? And you know, it's 1,500 miles high, too. Boy, wouldn't you like to have a balcony on that thing? Talk about a view, room with a view. But what am I saying? I'm saying that, listen, God is big. You know? And you know, I know, you know, we can get all weird on it and everything, but all I'm saying is this. Listen, we are thinking way too small in the body of Christ. That's our biggest problem. You know, I've asked you this question before. T.L. Osborne is one I heard ask this. Well, actually, God asked this question to him many, many, many years ago. God asked me, he said, how big's a miracle? He said, now, is a miracle big enough to work in one person's life? Well, yeah. He said, well, could I do it at the same time in two people's lives? Yeah, well, could I do it the same time in 10 people's lives? Well, yeah. Could I do it the same time in 100 people's lives? Well, yeah. Could I do it the same? And finally, he got up a number where it was too hard for him to say, yeah. Why? Because what? And it's the same thing's true with each of us. There are areas where we've allowed our thinking to be, to some degree, renewed by God's Word, by God's Spirit, by God's revelation. And in that area, we're comfortable. You know, when it comes to the area of the new birth and forgiveness of sins, man, most of us in the body of Christ, our faith, I'm telling you, it's at the zenith. Bless God, God wants to save everybody. We couldn't talk you out of the notion that God didn't want to save everybody, could we? Could we? Yeah, could we talk you out of the fact that there's got some sin God couldn't forgive? There's some people that God just couldn't save. They're too low. They're too bad. They're too ugly. They're too dirty. They're just sin too much. Could we? Why? Because, but see, when we start talking about some other areas, see, we start talking about prosperity. You know, I've told you before, I get criticized more on that than anything. You know why? For the big part is people don't have their minds renewed. I can talk about salvation every time we get together. Nobody complains. But, you know, I talk about prosperity, you know, 2 weeks in a row, and some people don't like it. You know, the ain'ts that call themselves saints. Sometimes there's more ain'ts than saints, isn't it? That's just one area. But, you know, all kinds of things that God wants to do. And the thing that Israel struggled with was their minds were so narrow that they could not allow God to move. Mm-hmm. You say, well, that's the... Now, you've gone way off the deep end. What do you mean, allow God to move? The very idea, he'll move if he wants to. Well, you know, if you read through the scriptures... I mean, you know, Jesus is God. Jesus was God here when he walked on the earth, didn't he? Yeah. Says he went to Nazareth, and he says there he could not, didn't say he would not, didn't say he chose not to, said he could not do any mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. And our unbelief usually is a fruit of our what? Our small thinking. God can't. God won't. And you know what we've got to do? He says here, he says, don't be squeezed into that. Because I want to tell you, it's not just the world, but religious people will squeeze you into that. Well, God don't want to heal everybody. Well, God don't want to set you free. God don't want to prosper you. God don't want to bless you. God don't want this. God don't want that. God won't do this. God won't, you know, and I mean, they have, I think they have a PhD and God won't. I want to ask them, listen, do you know anything that God will do? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You know, is there anything God will do? You know, sometimes we major on the wants. We need to major on what God will do. In this book called His Last Want and Testament. Oh, His Last Will and Testament. I mean, have you ever gone to a reading of a will? You know, you ever, a loved one or somebody, you know? You know, they don't read in there. He doesn't go for pages on end. Now, Charles, you can't, I didn't leave you this and I didn't leave you that. You can't have this and you're not going to get that. I mean, how long would you stand there for the reading of a will like that? That's kind of superfluous, isn't it? Why go? If it's all about what, you know, he didn't leave you and he's not going to give you and you can't have. Isn't that right? No. You go, the will has to do with what? Bequeathing. Well, how many of you know we have an inheritance? Isn't that right? And so the enemy, in whatever ways he manifests himself, will try to get you to think and act small. But here's the thing. We have to get in the book, don't we? Find out, what did God say? I want to tell you this. When I know what God said in His Word, I'm telling you what. You can be bold as a lion. It doesn't matter what people say. You know you're right when you got it here. Isn't that right? And I'll tell you what. I like what one preacher said. I'm going to please God if it hair lips the devil. Amen. Do not, the Amplified says it this way, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. You know, the Bible says that concerning God and His power, it uses a term called supernatural, doesn't it? Now, the word supernatural shouldn't evoke, you know, you never know what God's going to do. That's what the world tries to make it, that the supernatural means it's scary, it's unknown, you better watch out. You know, you get into the supernatural, you're going to get something bad. I wonder who come up with that. Had to be the enemy. Why? Because he knows as soon as you get into the, move into your inheritance, you move into the realm of the spirit, the supernatural, you got him whooped. You know what whooped means? That's an old Southern term, means licked, beaten, defeated. But whooped, if you're a Southerner, it's just got, it's almost like the Greek. It's got a lot of connotation to it. Whoop. Whipping's one thing, a whooping's something else. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the bully at school that, you know, if he steals you, he just steals your lunch, that's a whipping. But if he pops your bag, that's a whooping. You know what I mean? Pops your bag from. Goodspeed says this. He said, well, it goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Goodspeed says this, but by your new attitude of mind, be transformed. Philip says, but let God remold your minds from within. Now, when Jesus came on the scene in His earthly ministry, I mean, people were absolutely astounded at what He did. Not only what He taught, yes, but also what He did. They said, we've never heard anybody talk like this before. We've never seen anybody do these kind of works before. Isn't that right? Jesus started teaching the Israelites about God the Father. That was an absolutely new concept to them. They knew God as the lawgiver. They knew God as the judge. They knew God as the one who brings retribution if you don't do everything just right. They knew those things about God, but they didn't know Him as Father. So here comes this itinerant backwater preacher, hadn't been to rabbinical school, came from some little old podunk place called Nazareth, And here he is. Now he's got this new message that God is a God of love. He is the Heavenly Father. We're to relate to Him as the Father now. And not only that, He's coming around and He's doing all these works and miracles. You know, that the people of His day said, that don't happen no more. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene and that refutes everything. But the difference was this, what? Jesus did not have His mind conformed to that age, to their way of thinking. I mean, He was constantly butting heads, wasn't He? With the religious people of His day. He healed people on the Sabbath. They don't do that. We don't do that in our church. He walked through a cornfield on the Sabbath day and picked some corn to eat. We don't do that in our church. He cast out a devil in the temple. We don't do that in our church. Isn't that what they kept saying to Him? And see, if we don't get our minds renewed, what this, can you see why I say this is the biggest thing that's holding us back? It's not because somebody misappropriated some money. That's not holding the kingdom back. It's that so many Christians think so small about God. We think so small about God's purpose, God's plan, God's will, God's inheritance, God's power in our lives and through our lives. Listen. 120 people were the seed for reaching the known world in their day. Why? They didn't have phones. They didn't have planes, automobiles, satellites, cell phone, internet, you know, newspapers, nothing. So you can't tell me. It's because, and nowadays, there's supposedly several hundred million Christians in the world. We got all this technology. You can't tell me that it's because there's so many people in the world to reach. That's the reason we're not doing it. Or haven't done it. You can't say it's not because we don't have the means to do it. We have to be honest with ourselves and say it must be something else. And I believe one of the big things is that we have settled a mindset in the body of Christ. I'm talking about as a whole. I don't know about you. I'm just talking about as a whole. But a mindset is that we can't. And you know, there's nothing new about that. We're going to look at this in a minute because really the Hivite and the Jebusite, these two nations are very close akin. As a matter of fact, why don't we just, let's just turn over there right now. Turn over to Numbers 13. And you know, the enemy doesn't, how many know he's not using any different tactics now than he did then? That's the reason we can look at them and learn. Because he's doing the same old stuff. Numbers 13. Listen to this. Verse 29, we're going to start there. He says, the Amalekites, this is after the, you know, he sent the 10 spies in and they came back. He says, the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, that's who were, you know, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, there's some more of those ites, the Canaanites live in the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But, everybody say, but. Boy, I'm telling you what, that's the bane of faith. Is you talk all this and then you go, but. How many of you know what goats do? But sheep don't. Sheep don't but. Goats but. But the men who had gone up with them said, we can't attack those people. You know, the interesting thing is they were both right. One said, we can't. The other one said, we can. And they were both right. Because the one that said, we can't, they're right. They couldn't. And they didn't. And the ones that said they could, we can go up, he was right, and he did. Caleb went in, didn't he? It says here, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Isn't that what he just said? We just read that about what he told them over there in Deuteronomy 7. He said, these nations are stronger than you. But he said, you drive them out. You drive them out. In other words, what? My power is going to be with you. My spirit, my power, my ability is going to be with you. He says, they are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report. Boy, nothing new under the sun, is it? Here we go. Spreading unbelief, talking negative among God's people. Nothing new about it, is there? You see why God hates it so much? You read over there in Proverbs, there's seven things that God says is an abomination, and this is one of them. Oh, God, we'll have a hissy fit if we hear about some saint drank a beer, but we won't think anything about doing this. Oh, it's awful quiet in here. I thought y'all was ready for some meat. This is the meat crowd on Wednesday night, isn't it? You say, oh, Pastor, you tell us to go out and drink a beer? No, but I'm telling you what. I am telling you, you know, sometimes we strain at a gnat and swallow the camel. What we think is a big deal, and we just, oh, we're beside ourselves, and yet we're over here, you know, won't think anything about complaining, griping, gossiping, spreading a bad report. Notice it spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. And then guess what? They said, who's the they? All the congregation of Israel. What did they say? The land we explored devours those living in it. Look now how, I mean, it's just gotten even worse, hadn't it? There was nothing said about the land devouring the people. But that, isn't that true? You ever played that game? Remember that game they used to play? I forget. It might have been called gossip. Was it called gossip? I forget what it was. Do you know, you get about, you know, 8 or 9, 10 people, you know, and somebody, and you just get them in a line here, and you whisper to this person, and then they go on down, and at the end you say, okay, now what did you say? And it's amazing. By the time it gets through 8 or 10 people. Yeah. So you can imagine, by the time it got through this congregation, all of a sudden now, it went from, you know, that there's these big people in land. The land devours you when you go in. It's kind of like that sign, you know, they used to say. You know, instead of, you know, they used to put the signs, you know, keep off the grass. And then you saw the sign, don't even think about getting on the grass. I mean, they went from you know, oh, it's almost impossible to don't even think about it. And, you know, a lot of Christians, that's where they're at. They can't even, they never even think about the possibility of breaking out of the limitations that their circumstance of fear, of lack, of sickness, or whatever. They just come to the place where I can't even comprehend that could happen for me. That's where these people got. Because what? They listened to a bad report. And he said, when you listen to a bad report, you're going to get squeezed. You're going to get squeezed into a small place. Yeah. A small place in God. Yes, you're going to be saved. Yes, God's going to love you. Yes, you're going to heaven, but you're going to live down here all squeezed, all bound up, all limited. The Hivites, they defeated you. And all the time. You know, I was reading, anybody ever heard of Mary Baxter? Mary Kay Baxter? Boy, if you haven't, you ought to get her book. She's had, I mean, I don't know how many times she's been caught up to heaven. And she's written a book about all the things that she saw and the things God showed her. One of the times when she was up there, God showed her, she went to these huge buildings. She couldn't even see the end of it. I mean, you looked like a warehouse type building. I mean, you couldn't even see the end of it. And up there, it just said on it, it just said storehouse. And she said, the Lord told her, he said, everything is here for the people. He said, but the tragedy is, he said, they won't receive it. He said, this is not laid up for heaven. We don't need it up here. You ought to read her book. It'll bless you and encourage you. But see, we live in a small place in the body of Christ. We live in a small place. Why are the missionaries always having to beg for money? Is it art if I just get real? Are we old enough to handle this, chew on it? Well, it isn't because, you know, we've got too much money in the body of Christ. But yet people will hoop and holler and fuss at you, you know, because, oh, y'all talking about money all the time. Well, if somebody let go of it, we wouldn't have to talk about it. Isn't that right? If we'd start living in the big place in our lives, start believing God wants to prosper you. You say, well, I don't need any more. Great. Just think how much you're going to have to give now. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if God used you, blessed you enough, you could support 10 missionaries? Whoo! See, that's thinking bigger, isn't it? You know, we're not saying, you know, God prosper you so you can have 14,000 homes. Drive 17 Rolls Royces. That's not what we're about. If that's what you got, then you got that through your filter. You didn't get it through me. Because I didn't say that. I don't live that way, and I didn't say that to you. But I want to tell you what, we got to finance the gospel. There are things I want to do in this church. We can't do it because we don't have the money. You say, oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, here's the thing, you know, we got to be real, don't we? You know, why do I teach people about tithing? Why do I teach people about giving? Because I want you to prosper. Because if you prosper, then we're going to be able to do the things God called us to do. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
And, you know, there are missionaries that call me every day.
Yeah.
People that are doing a good work for God, yeah, that need our help, that need our help. Well, how's that going to happen? It's going to come through the people of God. So what? We got to stop, what? Thinking small. You say, well, yeah, but I just work on a minimum wage. God's not limited to your paycheck. Come on, bit bigger. How many remember the woman that came to the prophet and said, you know, my husband's dead. I'm a widow now. We're in debt. And we're in debt so bad they're going to come get all my children. They're going to have to go and work off the debt. Remember that story? She didn't have a job. She didn't have Social Security. She didn't have a 401k. Nothing wrong with all those, but I'm just trying to make a point here, okay?
Yeah.
About how we get, oh, the economy. Oh, God, God, what are we going to do? Oh, God, oh, God. Squeezing you in. Yeah, that's right. Yep, recession. You just come on right in there and have one too. Well, I've just decided not to participate. Isn't that right? So, you remember the story. He asked her, he said, well, what do you got in your house? She said, I got a little bit of oil. He said, hot dog. He didn't really say that. I'm loose translation. But, you know, that'll do it. That'll do it. You know, we think, I got to have this. No, God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. See, that's where we get to think it small, as we get to thinking about ourselves.
Yeah.
If I get to thinking on myself, boy, I'll tell you what, I get real small. I don't know about you, but I get real small. But see, he says, don't be squeezed into that. And he said, well, you go borrow a whole lot of vessels. He said, now don't get a few. Now see, most Christians I know nowadays, if God told them that, they'd have got a couple of, you know, these little five, you know, maybe a 5 gallon bucket. The prophet told her, he said, you don't go get a few now. In other words, what? God's going to bless you abundantly. Don't get a few. You know? Now, if she had got a few, you know what? God would have filled those up. And then she could have gone and complained, well, I'll tell you what, God did, oh, God. God just didn't give me enough. I just don't know why. And we get that barely get along attitude in us. You know, and this is just one area. It might be in another area. It could be in any area. But God says, get out of the box. Think big. And here's the thing. You say, well, I'm not sure about all that. Well, I double dog dare you to get into this book and find out what it does say then. You know? One way or the other, I'm going to provoke you to get into this book.
Right.
Prove me wrong. Just do it. Just do it. I'll rejoice with you. You find it here where God says he wants you to be poor, man, I'll get in agreement with you. Amen. If he wants you beat down and sick, I'll get in agreement with you if you can show it to me. He says, but let God remold your minds from within. So notice what he says here. He says, we saw the back in Numbers, Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, and from the Nephilim, the giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. This is what the Hivites, that spirit wants to do, is to make you have that grasshopper mentality, that squeeze you in. Ooh, God, ooh. You watch out for them people that tell you God wants you to have anything or have any peace or have any victory or have any healing or have any deliverance or have any joy or have any of the supernatural power. God, you watch them people. Where did that come from? It didn't come from God. He's the one that gave it to us. Isn't that right? But if we're not careful, that we can get squeezed into this thing. And the next thing you know, man, we're just, like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, you know, some people, he said, they're living on, you know, barely get along street right down by Grumble Alley. You have to be a little older to relate to that maybe, but I think most of us understand that. Isn't that true? You know, it's what we call in the South poor mouthing. And remember what Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. You know, somebody suggested this years ago. It might be a good thing to do. Get you one of these little recorders, you know, put it on your belt, and just record all day what you say, and then listen to it back. Might surprise you, hadn't it? Think about how many times, you're talking all this junk. Because he said, well, out of the abundance of the heart. Isn't that right? So what do we do? Isaiah 55, you don't have to turn there, 8 through 11. He said, my word, which goes forth out of my mouth, it will not return unto me void. But as the rain comes down and waters the earth and causes it to yield its fruit, so shall my word be. So what do? We put the word of God into us, don't we? We put it into this thing up here, and then it gets down into our spirit. And then when we get it in abundance there, guess what's going to come out your mouth? It's going to be God's word. It's going to be words that are in harmony, in agreement. I mean, you don't have to speak in Elizabethan, but your words are going to be words of faith. They're going to be words of wisdom. They're going to be words of grace. They're going to be words of love. They're going to be words that are the very mirror, the very breath of God because of what you've ingested. And when you begin to do that, you know what you do? You begin, something else begins to shape you. Instead of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the enemy comes against you, you can rise up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? You know, it's time we start having some victory. I know God takes us through things. I realize that. But you know what? God also delivers us from things. And I'm ready to see that balance out. Seems like to me most of the spirit-filled Christians I talk to, they're always going through something. When's the last time God delivered you from something? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. We need those testimonies too. All right, let's talk about the Jebusites. These two are very closely akin to one another. Jebusite, that means self-hatred or a poor self-image. Self-hatred or poor self-image. Now, we see here from Numbers that it's obvious that these spies who came back, they had a different viewpoint of themselves than God had. Isn't that right? They said, we are like grasshoppers. They had a poor self-image. And you know, so many of us in the body of Christ, we come to God. We're saved. Our sins are forgiven. We're made a child of God. But we still, this is an area where a lot of us have struggled in, is a poor self-image. Maybe you grew up all your life, you know, and I'm not criticizing anybody's parents or anything. You know, they did the best they knew. But, you know, a lot of times you get around people and they, you know, they put you down, told you you couldn't, you're a dummy, you're this, you're that. Come on. Isn't that true? And, you know, here's the thing. Anything you hear long enough, you start believing it. And when you start believing it, that's when it starts affecting you. And so many times we've heard that, especially growing up, because those are the most tender years. And when an authority figure, like a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or anybody that's an authority figure, when you're a little man, they speak, and that goes right in, doesn't it? Because you're thinking, well, man, you know, pop ought to know, or the teacher ought to know, or this ought to know, you know. So you begin to, you hear that and hear that, and you start believing it. Well, I'm just no good. I can't get it. I can't do it. I'm not going to be anything in life. I won't amount to anything. They're right. And then you go out and prove it. You know, why? Because that's what has happened. That's the image you have on the inside of you. And until that image is changed, it's hard for you to believe God. It's hard for you to believe that God would want to do anything so spectacular in your life. You ever notice how easy it is to believe that God would do something for somebody else? Glory to God. Isn't it true? Man, you hear, you know, if somebody come up and said, you know, God wants to do so and so and so and such and such for somebody over here, you'd, yeah, praise God, yeah, God bless them, do it, you know, no problem, I'll hook up and agree with you. But then God comes to you and says, I want to do the same thing for you. Well, well, I don't know, about, oh man, I don't know, I'm a dummy and I'm not worthy, and I, you know, if God did give it to me, I'd probably mess it up, and I don't know. You can't have faith to receive anything from God if that's the image you have of yourself. Are you out there? And so this is what the Jebusite, it had to do, it said self-hatred. A lot of people need to forgive themselves the way that God has forgiven. Amen? It's true. You say, oh, that sounds like psychobabble. Well, call it what you want to, but I want to tell you what. As long as you hold on to all your failures, to all the things that people have said to you through life, that you can't, you won't, you're no good, you won't mount to anything, you're never going to have anything, all that kind of junk, it has built a self-image in you. The Bible says, old things, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if any man, woman, be in Christ, behold, all things have become what? And what? Old things of what?
Passed away.
What? Isn't that passed away? Isn't that just a nice way to say they died? We say so-and-so passed away. Well, in other words, old things are dead. That old image is dead. That old person that did that is dead. That old person that was told it'll never amount to anything, that's dead. That person that made all those mistakes, that did all that person's dead. You're a brand new person. You're a brand new person. You have a brand new identity. You're a child of God. And he says, he goes on down there in verse 21, says you've been made righteous with the righteousness of God. Now, how are you going to improve on the righteousness of God? Isn't that right? Y'all have heard me tell the story. My mom and all was a generation that came up through the Great Depression. And boy, if you think that doesn't shape you, isn't that right? Of course, through the wars too, but especially the Great Depression. You've heard me tell the story. I remember, you know, we used to ride. We didn't own a car, but we'd ride a lot with my aunt, my mom's sister. And my mom, you know, it's the funniest thing in the world. Boy, when I'm trying to give the oven some money for gas. Oh, Lord of mercy. You catch right. Mom pulled out a $5 bill. Now, I know you're really going to date it when I say pull out a $5 bill, because you can barely get a gallon for that now. Man, you know. But, you know, this is back when gas was like, you know, 20-something cents a gallon. So it's a young, y'all too young to remember that. I feel sorry for you. But, you know, she'd take that money out, and she'd give it to my aunt. My aunt thought back, nope. Yeah, you take this. Nope. I ain't going to take it. You take this. Nope. 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 You take it. I mean, it, you know, now it's just hilarious. One, you know, one trying to give it, and the other one take it. And, you know, God says, you know what? He said, that's the way it is with a lot of my children. I'm trying to bless them, and they say, nope, 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 God, that's okay. No, nope, 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 that's okay, God. And a lot of that is because we don't feel like we deserve it. Okay, let's get this all cleared up once and for all. This might help you. None of us anywhere deserve it. Okay, just settle that. But God gives it to you anyway. How about that? That's a good starting point for us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners. He didn't say, as soon as you got your act together, Christ died for us. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more, now that we belong to Him, will He not freely? Does anybody know what free means? Free. Free is free, isn't it? How much more will He not freely give us a few things? All things. Glory to God. See, so what? We've got to get our image changed. And you know what we got to do? We got to get into the Word to do that. Real quickly, I got just a couple of more minutes. Turn over to Philemon. Oh, yes, everybody knows where Philemon is, don't you? Over there in the New Testament where the pages stick together. Isn't that right? It's right after Titus, which is right after 2 Timothy, right before Hebrews. Anybody before you get, you're already there now. You know how many chapters it has, don't you? It's chapter one. It's only one chapter. You know, it says here, let me get over there. I want to read it. It talks about, here in Philemon, this is a very interesting verse. It's talking about both sharing our faith and it's talking about our confession. And verse 6, Philemon 6, says that the communication of your faith may become effectual, powerful, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When you were born again, God put on the inside of you, okay, not only a brand new creature, a brand new person, but in seed form, everything that pertains, Peter put it this way, pertains to life and godliness has been given to you. And here in Philemon, he's writing to this dear brother. He said, now here's a key. He said, you need to start acknowledging every good thing that is in you through Christ Jesus. In other words, that would be, praise God, I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All my sins have been forgiven. God does not remember them anymore. He's not holding them against me. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been placed into the body of Christ. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen to me. What? I start acknowledging what? Every good thing. Why? Because who does that glorify? It glorifies what Jesus did through Calvary and the new birth. Instead of acknowledging, well, I'm just no good. Well, where did God say that in there? I didn't see where he said, now, Paul wrote to the church and said, now you no good for nothing Christians. Where did he say that in there? You can't find that, can you? I mean, he even wrote to the Corinthian church. I mean, they were sleeping around, you know, getting drunk at church. Lordy, you know if anybody's going to let them have it, that's the time. I'm with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin said, you know, God was taking him through that book one day, changed his ministry years ago. He said, God told him, he said, now, if that'd been you writing to them Corinthians, you'd have started it out like this. You bunch of backslidden buzzards, you better pray through and repent and get right. And he said, up until that time, he said, he had me pegged just right. And sometimes, you know, and I have to say this too, to be fair, sometimes we've been beat down from the pulpit. Hello? You can say amen. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I know it's true. That's why it's important where you go to church. I go where somebody's going to beat you down, take something out of you, tell you how no good you are, and you never will, and you never have. And you know, I don't need to come to church to hear that. Isn't that right? So he said here in Philemon, he said, acknowledge. Now, how are we going to begin to have the image God wants us to have? Acknowledge every good thing that is in us through Christ Jesus. If any man, woman, person be in Christ, all things have become new. He said, that's what I want you to start acknowledging. Yeah, but grandma said, well, praise God for your grandma. I'm sure she's a wonderful woman, but she's not as smart as God. I know she's close, but God's got her by a little bit. Isn't that right? Yeah. I mean, we all, and you should think high of your grandma. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm just trying to bring things out so we can understand, because those people had a powerful effect in our life. They were people that we respected, and we should still respect and admire. But, you know, just because we respected and admired them doesn't mean that they know everything, does it? You know, some things, you know, we should grow in. You've heard me tell the story about the daughter was watching a woman cook the roast. You know, her mom cooked the roast, and she cut off both ends of the roast and put it in the thing. And the daughter said, "Well, why are you doing that?" "Well, I don't know. Your grandma did it." So she said, "I'm going to talk to grandma next time I see her and ask her." And she talked to grandma. She said, "Well, grandma," I said, "why'd you do that?" She said, "Well, the pan I had was too short." See, there was a reason, but, you know, a lot of times stuff just gets passed down and we don't have a clue, do we? We just swallow it up. And so, you know, grandma may have had a reason, but here's the thing. We get into this book and say, okay, what did God say about me? That's why I encourage you. Get into the Bible. Get into the epistles, especially Ephesians and Colossians. And they will, you know, in those books especially, you will find out about who you are in Christ. What God, the new creature you've become. And that's what you ought to start saying. Bless God, I have been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and I can understand the Bible. Don't let that old thing, well, the Bible's too hard. That, you ought to know that ain't true. Look at me. It can't be that hard if a guy like me can get it. No, but the, see, all those kind of things, those are what the enemy will try to tell you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could not, that's deep, that stuff's deep. Well, yeah, God is deep, but you know what? You got the Holy Ghost, and He's deep too. Amen. And you know, He has a way of taking deep things and making them simple. He will make them clear. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, well, you got the Spirit of truth. He said, He will guide you into all truth. He will show it to you. Amen. So you get in there and you start, you know, and bless God. You know that, now do you understand why I do the little confession on Sundays? I do sometimes. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says. You ought to start looking and finding out that, and then you start declaring that over your life. Listen, if God says you're righteous, I don't care if everybody else in the body of Christ says you're not. Bless God, they're wrong. Isn't that right? And I don't say that arrogantly, but I mean, if you don't come to that point to where you just say, bless God, if God says it, I'm not saying, we can be teachable, I'm not saying that, but man, when it's clear God said that, bless God, that's it. We're not going to vote on it. God said it. You know? So, the Jebusite, the self-hatred. I want to read you one last scripture, and then I'm going to stop. Turn back over there to Numbers. If you held your place, great. If not, switch back over there real quickly. I'll read one last scripture, and then we're going to dismiss. Numbers, and we're going to look at, in chapter 14 this time. We just read to the end of 13 about the spies and how they begin to talk all that unbelief and negative report. And when they did, you know, it affected and infected all of the congregation of Israel. In 14:34, I want to read you a scripture there. Boy, when you read this, this really will hit you. Listen to this. Well, let's back up to verse 32. He says, but you, your bodies will fall in the desert. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your body lies in the desert. Now listen to this. For 40 years, 1 year, for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins. Now, what sin was it? Unbelief. Grasshopper mentality. They explored the land. You ever wondered why they ended up out in the desert for doing laps for 40 years? Here it is. We can't. Now, how many other people have been kept in a desert in their Christian walk, unbeknownst, most people ignorantly, for the same reason? Not because God's mad at you, but because what? Your wrong thinking, your wrong self-image about who you are in Christ, about who God is and what God wants to do in and through your life, have trapped you. have trapped you. You know, one place there, Malachi, God says, your words have been strong against me. You've said, it is vain to serve God. Now, we might not just say it just that way, but many times we do say it, don't we? Or we're real good. You know, you ever watch some of these cable news programs? Boy, man, they can spin it, can't they? Lordy. Spin it, spin it, spin. Man, they can put the spin on anything. But you know what? Man, we Christians, we're just about as proficient as them at spinning stuff. You know, well, God, well, the reason you're going, God wants you, you know, God wants to teach you a lesson. I wonder how many Christians would have told all those people that. Well, you know, you're in the desert, God wants to teach you a lesson. Well, he certainly wanted them to learn a lesson, but God didn't put them there. They put themselves there. And many times it's not God putting us somewhere that's teaching us a lesson. We've put ourselves there. Because what? We didn't do what God said in Deuteronomy 7. He said, don't compromise with them. Defeat them. Destroy them utterly. Run them out. And that's what you and I have to do. And if we don't, guess what? We're going to sit with them. You know? And you're going to get what they got. Well, I'd rather have what God has. Amen? I'd rather have what's in God's hand than I had what's in all these ites and bites, as it were. Okay? So the cure, what? Get in the Word. Renew your mind. Begin to affirm, as he said in Philemon 6 there, affirm, what has God done? Bless God, I don't care what the devil says. All my sins are forgiven. There is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. And bless God, I'm in Christ Jesus. If anybody's in, I'm in. So I said, oh, that sounds so cocky. Well, where's all this wishy-washy thinking's got you? Well, I think, man, I hope I'm in. I don't know. You know, I was in last week. You're in. Amen. Just settle it. Declare it. Amen. And you watch how your faith will grow. And, you know, God will be glorified in your life. Isn't that right? The ultimate glory of what Jesus did will be realized in heaven and in eternity, won't it? Yes. Progressive, isn't that right? Well, you know, you think about heaven, nobody's going to be sick there. Nobody's going to be full of fear there. Nobody's going to be without joy there. Nobody's going to be broke there. Nobody's going to be beat down there. The devil's not going to have anybody bound there. It's the ultimate expression of the redemption. But the Bible says that in this life, we have the earnest, the down payment. Glory to God. So I want my down payment. Don't you? Well, we got to stop. Hang it up. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something out of this series? Like I said, you can go back. Some of them are still on the website. You can click on them, listen to them again. You know, some messages are good for one time. Sometimes messages strike you in such a way, they're good for many times, aren't they? So when one strikes you and you say, man, I think there's some more juice in that one. I'm going to squeeze some more juice. You go back and click on that thing. Or maybe you know somebody that's struggling in this area too. You know? You give it to them. Well, let me give you a chance, anybody that'd like to give. Our usher's going to come real quick, guys. If you want to give.